God bless every single one of you this morning. As we find ourselves in this type of scenario, it's almost frightening for some people, but, you know, even as the song we just finished singing, we honor and we serve a faithful God who is with us throughout everything and anything that we may encounter in our lives. He is always there with us. So this isn't a time to be sadful. This isn't a time to be sad. It's a time to rejoice in the Lord, because as I'm seeing now through Facebook and through other social media, I'm seeing God's word being spread like no other time. There are so many churches now that before, they never ventured on the part of going out there and trying to do live stream such as some other churches and us have been doing for some time. But now they've taken that step forward. And the word of God tells us that at the end of times, everybody will hear the word of God. And I think this is a media, this is a method by which everyone out there will get to know the word of God. We extend all the way down to South America, Central America, and Mexico. We got listeners joining in throughout the United States. The word of God is being heard. And that is something that we can rejoice on. That is something that we can trust our God that he's providing the ways to do this. So this isn't a time because of we're on online right now. We're an online church for this moment in a temporary. I know we miss each other. We need to see each other. But, you know, there are other ways that we've done it. Last night, we were also, the men were joining together, and each one from our own homes. But we were able to receive our Bible study that we normally receive on Fridays. The women have chimed in. The youth have continually and progressed continually doing this. So it's great that we can now all join in together. And if you're hearing me now today, if you're on online with us, give a little comment. Say a little amen just for us to know who is there listening to us. But this is another way we can do this. Welcome to our online church of Alpha and Omega. And let us take some time right now. I'd like to ask the children to now go out for children's church. Just kidding. Little lively joke there. We don't have any kids. But let us bow our heads in prayer so that we can start today's message. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this way of providing, Lord, another way, another method, Lord, to getting your word out there. We thank you, God, because you are so faithful, Lord, in so many ways that sometimes our mind can't even comprehend, my Father. But we thank you, Lord, because your goodness, oh Lord, is demonstrated even at the times of when apparent evil or apparent viruses are out there in the world. Your goodness is still running after us, Lord. And we have to know, Lord, that you are there. And we trust in your word, Lord, that you are there, Father. And we thank you, Lord, for your presence inside of us, Lord. We ask you, Father, now that as this message goes out, I ask you, Lord, to touch my lips, Lord, so that the word that comes out from my lips, Lord, may continue to edify your people, Lord, wherever we are, Lord, in our homes, Lord, listening through whatever device, oh, Father, that they're listening, but they're listening, Father. I ask you to edify your church, Lord, and I ask you, Lord, that every word that proceeds from my word and from my lips, Lord, may it always edify you, Lord, and bring you all the ultimate glory, Father. I give you honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So today's message, as we have seen, is entitled Passion Fueled by Godly Fear. And we're, as always, we're going to concentrate on one verse. And if you can just, if you have your Bibles open, just look at Joshua chapter 2, verse 11. And I'm going to read it like this. So it's Joshua chapter 2, verse 11. And it says, "When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven on above and on the earth below." As we read today's story about Rahab, I mean, even just reading this story about Rahab, one can only wonder what was running through the head of this woman who was harboring Israelite spies and as the king Jericho was looking for them to capture them. I mean, look at Rahab. She didn't know who they were. She didn't even know who any of them. She hadn't seen them before. She didn't recognize them. I mean, they were not friends of friends that she would actually do this type of favor for them. They were complete strangers who no doubt were fleeing from the guards that were out to set out there to capture them. Rahab, being a Jericho woman, a harlot, a prostitute, immediately sought to protect them and then lied to the soldiers as they inquired. If we look at verse 4, it says, but the woman had taken the two men and hidden them. She hid them from the guards, and she said to the guards, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. I mean, can you see this event unfolding in your mind? The adrenaline that must have been rushing through her heart, trying to act calm, yet she was full of fear, and the fear of being caught. So making sure that her story sounded coherent and logical so that it wouldn't even raise some suspicion out there. She continued in verse 5. She said, at dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. He says, I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You catch up with them. And then in verse says, but she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that led to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone, the gate was shut. I mean, one can only wonder what fueled this action from Rahab. What caused her to lie and protect these complete strangers from these soldiers? In verse 9, it gives us a reason. So look over in verse 9, and it says, and I know it's kind of small here on the screen, but you look at your Bible. In verse 9, it gives us a reason, and it says, I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that a great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in this country are melting in fear because of you. And in verse 10, it says, we have heard how the Lord has dried up the waters of the Red Sea. For when you came out of Egypt and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of the Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed, when we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear and everyone's courage failed because of you. And then look at this last part. It says, for the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. This, brothers and sisters, is what I call passion fueled by godly fear. I mean, fear, the book of Proverbs tells us in chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord, it says it's the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, fear of the Lord doesn't mean that we are to fear the Lord because he is going to punish us, or that he will take out his vengeance on us if we should fail him. On the contrary, fear of the Lord is a reverent emotion that draws us closer to God instead of pushing him away. Fear is respecting him. And in doing so, we get a deeper understanding of who God is. Fools, on the other hand, ignorant people, they just don't want true knowledge. They just want to live their lives with their understanding and doing things the way they think it should work. I mean, not really relying on God, but relying on their basic and limited and untrustworthy knowledge. That is why they're called fools. But let me tell you something. Rahab was no fool. She knew who these men represented. The all-powerful God. She didn't know this God. All she was going by was what she had heard. She heard that this was a miraculous God that can open up an entire sea and create walls of water for his people to safely cross over to the other side. She heard of this God who loves his people, that he protected them from their enemies as they came out of Egypt. She heard of how this full of power God gave victory over the Amorites and the king Sihon to the Israelites, defeating them in battle, and then the Israelites occupying all of their cities. She heard how this great God delivered the Israelites from King Og of Bashan and completely destroying the king, his sons, and his army, and leaving no survivors. This is what motivated Rahab. This is what got her going, what she had heard of this great and miraculous God. You know, this was enough to knock some sense into Rahab in her mind. Let me have a question for you. Have you heard of this all-powerful God that Rahab heard about? Have you heard what he can do when things seem utterly impossible? Have you heard that when a totally defeating situation encircles you, he can ultimately deliver you from it? Have you heard that all you have to do is call out his name and he will answer you? Have you heard of this God? I think you have. And if you haven't, you will hear it right now. That is our God. That is the God that we serve today. That is the Almighty God in whom brings us together through this type of media, online, wherever it be. But we are together in spirit right now. This is our God that when we are falling, when we are failing, when we are hurting, he is there lifting us up because he promises he loves us. And having this knowledge of who our God is for us should fill our heart with the passion and drive us to carry out his will. That is the God that we serve, brothers and sisters. That is the God who has us here today preaching and telling everybody out there in cyberland, in all these modes, that this is the God that loves them. This is a God that loves you and is there for you. Now, let me switch gears here. No pun intended, and you'll know what I mean. Depending on the car that we drive, whether American, German, Japanese, or European, will depend on the fuel that you have to use. Some cars require a higher octane because they use a high-performance engine. If you don't put the right fuel in these cars, well, it doesn't perform as intended, and it may seriously damage your car. All because you decided to put the lesser expensive, the regular unleaded in a high performing car instead of using the super unleaded. Well, you as a man and woman of God are his greatest creation. You are the high performance model. God has created you for a purpose, and he left us. If you look at Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for your good and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. He further states in Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 4, he says, I have called you by name. You are mine, says the Lord. And then in verse 4, it says, you are precious to me. You are honored, and I love you, says the Lord. Ephesians 2:10 further says, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared us in advance for us to do. So if you are to perform at your max, then you are to use the high-end fuel to get the best results. And let me tell you, our fuel is God's word. Our eyes have not seen him, but our ears have heard of all of the miracles that he is doing and that he continues to do and will continue doing. Yes, even in the midst of all of this troubled situation, even in the midst of this crisis, we know that God is the only one that can take a bad situation and transform it into good. How does he do this? I don't know. We don't know. All I know is that he does. So during this time of what's happening in our church, within our cities, and within our country, let us try to find that good fuel. I mean, God's word in action and the miracles that we are hearing all around us, God is putting this word out there, and this is going to keep our faith growing and keeping us moving. Don't just listen to all of the negative news that are going out there. And mind you, there is plenty of it. You can sit down and really go through your social media, turn on the TV, and you will listen to all sorts of bad news everywhere. But don't fill your heart, don't fill your mind with bad news. It will only lead you to despair. Fill your mind with good news. Look at all the positive things. Look at all the good things that are happening out there, and fill your mind and fill your soul with that. You know, God is working even though we can't see him. And can somebody say an amen to that? Put that in YouTube. Write it in there. Amen. I was reading this article online from a newspaper called The Atlantic, where Garrett M. Graff, who's the director of the cyber initiatives for the Aspen Digital Program at the Aspen Institute, wrote this article entitled, What Americans Are Doing Now is beautiful. And I'd just like to take a brief moment and just read you a little bit of what this article is saying. The public's response to the coronavirus will stand as a remarkable moment of national mobilization. It continues on later down in the article. It says, flattening the curve, a phrase few of us had heard a month ago, has arrived as an urgent national mantra akin to Rosie the Riveter's We Can Do It. This call to arms reminds us how those in the front lines, the vulnerable and equally scared, the doctors, the nurses, the EMTs, the paramedics, and other healthcare professionals, how they benefit when all of us do our own little bit. And in turn, how helping those first responders gives the inevitable patients, whoever they may be, the best chance of survival. It continues in saying, it's a collective act of almost unprecedented community spirit, a fundamental statement of how we stand together as a species. The many act to protect the few, an almost tribal communitarian instinct that is all too rare in modern life. COVID-19 is hitting the United States at a moment when partisanship and politics seem to define too much of our individual identity and worldview. And even one's assessment of how serious a threat the coronavirus poses. But with cases in all 50 states, the virus is erasing distinctions between red and blue. This one moment at the quickening point of the crisis, pause and reflect on the sheer wonder of what we're all doing together. The most isolating thing, the article closes, the most isolating thing most of us have ever done, ironically, almost surely is the most collective experience we've had in our lifetime. In other words, distinction lines and differences are being erased as we are coming together. We're all coming together to defeat this one common enemy, not only as Americans or inhabitants of the U.S., but as a Christian community that cares and prays for those impacted, and we intervene to our divine God for his holy protection. I mean, good news do exist in the middle of all this crisis. And like I've said, we have to open up our ears and begin to see that all this good, because we serve a good God, and in the midst of all this good, things are happening. Here are some of the headliners also that I caught, that caught my eye. It says, the first U.S. coronavirus vaccine trial began testing last week. It's already in the testing process. Another headliner says, in one day, 1,000 doctors and nurses enlisted in New York City's Medical Reserve Corps to fight the virus. 1,000 doctors and nurses volunteered. And then it continues saying that Vo, a tiny northern Italian village where an experiment in mass testing appears to have halted COVID-19. How great news is that? More and more grocery stores are offering elderly hours to help protect older and vulnerable customers. Distilleries across the U.S. are using their alcohol to now make hand sanitizers and are giving them away for free. A property owner in Arkansas told its restaurant tenants to stop worrying about paying rent and to begin paying now their staff instead. I mean, how many great news is this happening? How many good news are we beginning to see? But because we're so into the negative, we're not really paying attention to all of the goodness that's happening out there in the world. And God is opening up venues. God is opening up ways where all of this good news is impacting, is causing all these people to change their ways of thinking, to change their lifestyles, to begin now to care for everybody and come together. But you know what? The good news don't stop there at a national level. I mean, the good news are also evident in our lives as well. So, for example, we can truly say that since this virus started, more people have actively been praying more than usual. And isn't that so? Isn't that so? Yes, we have. We have been praying day and night. We have been intervening with our brothers and sisters. We have had our day of prayer on Thursday. I heard that today was also another day of prayer. But let me tell you, I don't need an order from the government to tell me that Sunday is a day of prayer. Every day is a day of prayer. Every day we are to intervene for our brothers and sisters, for our families, for our church, for our cities, for our communities. We are to be in that forefront spiritually, intervening to our God, asking Him to give us the wisdom, to pull us through, to protect us, to protect our family. I mean, many people are actively seeking the Lord more than normal. Many people that didn't even know church, that didn't even want to know about God, they are actively seeking the Lord who is always there, who is always listening, whose attention is always on His special creation. Churches are finding ways to utilize technology to now continue to spread the gospel, such as we are. They're now the interest. Before I came on, I was on Facebook as well, looking at all my other friends, my other pastor friends, the colleagues that are now before. We never saw them on Facebook. They never bothered. They didn't know how to present Facebook or their sermons or their studies online. Now they're out there. The word is quickly spreading. The message is quickly getting out there. So churches are utilizing technology to continue the spread of this gospel. I mean, I have seen cities, neighborhoods, and communities all coming together in protection of their own through the suspension of public events. It's not that it's a crime. It's just that we need to be protected. We need to stop the spread. And so these public events, for the safety of their community, they suspended all of their public events. I mean, while at home, there's now more interaction with our families. I mean, I have been home for the past week. As you all know, I work for LA Unified, and we've been closed down temporarily. So I have been home for a week, and now my grandkids are enjoying Nono. And Nono is enjoying the grandkids. So it's all great. Now we have taken precaution as a city, and no one is to be out. But doesn't it seem like time has slowed down? I mean, doesn't it all seem like, oh my God, this day is lasting so long? You know, I mean, we wake up early in the morning, but it's like, oh my gosh, when is this day coming to an end? But it just takes, the day has automatically just gotten longer and longer and longer. And you know what? It's less hectic. It's less hectic, especially for those of us that take that 6 o'clock morning drive on the freeway, and the 5 freeways is bumper to bumper to bumper to bumper. I thank the good Lord that I'm not on the freeway at 6 a.m. in the morning. Amen. I hope that it may continue to do so that way, but in a good sense, in a good sense. And you know what? Yes, even our finances are going to get better. Why? Because we're not out there shopping. Sorry, ladies. Sorry. That's just the way it is, right? Finances are going to get better. There hasn't been that much spending during this time. You know what? Even the government is now providing funding for some impacted Americans. And how many of us can give praise to our God for that? Amen. And you know what? Ladies, the honey-do list is quickly getting shorter. Yes, that famous honey-do list is now getting shorter and shorter. Why? Because your husband is there at home and he can do all of the repairs that need to be repaired. But you know what? And that was a little slight humor in all this. But most importantly, you know, it is time to refuel. It's a time for personal reflection. It's a time to establish or maybe even reestablish your dependency and trust in God. Because this day has lengthened, because now you have a lot more time to do, it's not a lot more time to sit down in front of the tube and just see, you know, all of the TV programs you've missed, all of the sport programs that you haven't seen. It's not time to get the clicker and now start going and just do binge watching on all your favorite series and all your movies. No. It's a time now to reflect. It's a time now to meditate. It's a time now to open up your Bible and begin reading of this wonderful and most gracious God that has given us the health and has given us the ability to do so. You know what? Rahab recognized the hard times she was facing. But she also recognized that the Lord your God is God in heaven above and on the earth below. He is our sovereign Lord. He is the God, that is the God that she had heard, that he is God above all. He is God above in heaven and also on the earth. All these examples that I just finished going through of good news should fuel our faith of hope in this Almighty God. That no matter what confronts us, that no matter what we go through, God has promised to always be there for us. God will never leave us. God will always be there protecting us from whatever evil, from whatever situation that comes around us. So as I close today, my prayer for you during these trying times we're all facing is that you don't run on empty. Fill your spiritual tank with good fuel. Fuel that burns intensely and eternally and sees God's hand moving in the midst. Go to your source of fuel, which is God's word, to refuel constantly as needed every single day. Whenever you're feeling low, whenever you're feeling tired, whenever you're feeling scared, go to God's word. In his promises, in his word, you will find his promises that will lift you up, that will sustain you, that will bring you through that perilous time that you're going through, because that is the God who he is. He will lift, he will open up the doorways. He will open up oceans for us. Even though we walk through the valley of shadows, he is there with us. Even though we walk through fire, he is there holding us. He will never let us go. And then know that just as God protected Israel against her enemies, God will protect you because he loves you. I close with this psalm, Psalm 5, verse 11. It says, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you." Let me read that one more time. It says, "But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you." Let us rejoice as we know that God spread his protection over us. Going through Facebook, as I close down, I'm going down again. As I close down, going through Facebook and going through that, I found this little picture, this graphic that I'd like to show you right now. It's the breaking news. It's from Victory Outreach in Anaheim. It says, breaking news. It says, praying, it's not canceled. Fasting, not canceled. Bible study, not canceled. Giving, not canceled. Witnessing, not canceled. Courage, not canceled. Faith, not canceled. Jesus, he's still on the throne.
Amen.
Amen. So with that, brothers and sisters, I'd like to close today's message with that hope that Jesus is still on the throne. He is our sovereign Lord. He is in control of this. Let your passion be fueled by the fear that we have in God, of respect, respectful fear. And that throughout this time, know that you have a church that loves you. You have a church that's supporting you. Let us continue listening to these online messages. Let us continue listening to the men, the women, and the youth that are also providing their messages out to all of our church in Alpha and Omega. And God bless you today and ever. Let us bow our heads in prayer and thank our good Lord. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this message and for your presence with us here today, Lord. May you continue, Lord, to reign as our sovereign Lord, not only in our lives, Lord, but in this world that desperately needs you. You are the one, O Lord, that we are to come to. You are the one that we should come to when we are fearful, when our hearts are full of fear, when our hearts are full of doubt, Lord. Your arms are always open wide. So as we close today's message, Lord, we're not closing, Lord, you're not closing the doors to heaven. Instead, you're opening them even greater, Lord, so that we can all come together and honor you and worship you, Father. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your message, Lord. And cover us and protect us throughout this whole week and our many activities that we have online, Lord. In the name of the glorious Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you, brothers and sisters.